Welcome to Wired to Hunt's Rutfresh Radio, bringing you the latest reports from the Whitetail Woods. And now, your host, Spencer Newharth.
This is episode 484 of Wired to Hunt's Rutfresh Radio, powered by First Light. And this week we're talking about avoiding the orange armies. Welcome to Wired Hunt's Rutfresh Radio. This is episode 484, and I'm not joined by Mark Kenyon today because he's out on assignment, doesn't have any cell service. I can't get a text or a phone call through to him, so I'm joined by Tony Peterson instead. And Tony, today I want to talk to you about bow hunting during gun seasons. Mid-November probably represents a time when there are maximum amount of gun seasons for whitetails open across the country. So it's relevant now more than ever. And the reason I'm asking you this question, Tony, is because when is the last time you killed a whitetail with a gun?
Oh, man. I guess probably about 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. I used to muzzleloader hunt really hard, and I've kind of gotten out of it. We just by losing a few spots to hunt and just having different priorities, but it's been a few years anyway.
Yeah. So you are a whitetail killing son of a gun with a bow instead. That's why I want to hear your input on this. So when the orange armies are in the woods in the Midwest and you are still looking for your own whitetail with a bow, what are some themes, Tony? Like, how are you finding deer this time of year? Say gun seasons have been open for a week by now, and you're entering the woods to try to kill one with archery equipment. How are you finding deer? And like, what are some differences you're noticing than in areas that don't have gun seasons open right now?
You know, I think we kind of look at where the deer go during gun seasons as we think of it too big. Sometimes we think like, oh, they move on to some property that doesn't allow hunting or some kind of sanctuary. But you know, I see this a lot where I'm pheasant hunting or I'm scouting this time of year, and I jump deer in places on, especially on public land a lot, where they're just in really tight cover and they don't want to move. And so I think we always think that they're just gone, but really you got to think of it from the perspective of, you know, how many deer could you hide in, you know, half an acre of cattails? You might think like there's going to be zero deer in there, but when you go walk through them this time of year, those deer know every one of those spots that are kind of unapproachable for us. Like they're going to know we're there. And I see this over and over and over this time of year where I always, like, in my head, I'm like, oh, they're someplace big and far. And what they are is underfoot in, you know, a nice little island in the swamp, or they're somewhere where we're just not looking. And it's usually a really tiny patch of cover that hides them really well.
So say it's November 24th and you're entering a new area and you have like one day to scout before you're going to be hunting for a week. What are some things you're looking for? Are you just specifically looking for tight covering that you're then not entering? Or are you looking for rubs and scrapes? Or are you trying to just find places where there aren't other people? Like, what are you looking for in late November for in-season scouting?
I'm looking for where, you know, I'm not looking for rubs and scrapes. I'm not looking for anything that feels like an easy place to hunt. Like that nice woods that's open and would be a great place to call in turkeys. That place sucks for deer right now. I'm looking at it like, where are the overgrown homesteads? Where are the thickest parts of whatever property I'm hunting? And I'm going to go in and look. And, you know, if you have snow, it's really easy this time of year to see if there's current deer usage, but a lot of places don't. And so to me, it's just a matter of, you know, what are the tracks on the ground? What's the concentration of deer usage look like? And it's not going to be, you know, they might be places where there's rubs and stuff from earlier in the season, but it's going to be tracks. It's going to be trails. And it's going to be the deer I jump that I almost step on. Those are really valuable to me because they're kind of a, you know, they're a confidence booster, but also they show you like, there was a deer riding this thing out right here. That's real important information.
All right. Well, on the flip side of the coin, say you are a gun hunter I know you recently had an episode of Foundations that was about how gun hunters should think like bow hunters. Give us a quick synopsis of what that means. If you're a gun hunter, what can you learn from someone with archery equipment?
You got to forget about the big, beautiful views, and you got to get in tight. You know, I mean, it's, we just, and bow hunters do this too, but gun hunters are fantastic at trying to find places where they can reach out and touch a deer. You know, and you think you're going to increase your odds of, you know, if you can see 300 yards in every direction, or you sit on that power line and you can shoot both ways for 300 yards, like this is the spot. These are, you know, this is my highest odds. But these deer, they know where to go when the pressure kicks in. And to get them to make a big mistake, like moving across a wide open clear cut, you know, 4, 5, 6 days into the gun season, they're probably not going to do it. You got to get into some tighter stuff, dial that scope down to 3 power, and hunt in security cover. And it's a hard thing to do, but with a little in-season scouting and the willingness to sit in tight stuff, it usually works, or it can work.
Yeah, all themes you're going to hear from our interviews this week. And we talked to hunters from West Virginia, Montana, Georgia, and Missouri. And like every week, we have reading materials for you in the description of the episode. If you just scroll down wherever you're listening to this at, you're going to see these articles linked right now that are relevant for being in the woods right now. We have articles like How to Kill a Big Buck at the End of the Rut by Tony Peterson. Tony talks about how volume hunting and seeking hot does can help you kill a mature whitetail right now. We have 10 Natural Food Sources Every Deer Hunter Should Know by Mark Kenyon. Mark goes over food sources that can be found across the country and are especially relevant as we get into post-rut. Then we have a caliber battle, 308 Winchester versus 270 Winchester by Jordan Sillars. Jordan breaks down two of the most popular deer cartridges and declares a winner for which is better for whitetail hunters. And then we have How to Kill a Buck in Late November by Mark Kenyon. Mark discusses some themes for hunting when the rut is coming to an end and gun seasons are in full swing. So what is next for you, Tony? What is the next hunt that you have going?
I'm going to be trying to kill one more deer with a bow. And in between that, and that'll be an antler this year. I don't have any buck tags left. And then in between that, I'm going to be chasing a whole bunch of public land roosters with my dogs.
All right, man.
What I got going on.
I like it. Thank you for joining me, Tony. Good luck with that antlerless hunt and killing some roosters.
Awesome. Thanks, buddy.
All right. And joining us on the line next is Bo Martonic from East Meets West Hunt. And also you can find his articles on the Wired Hunt website, who's just hunting in West Virginia. Now, Bo, in West Virginia, what would you say the buck activity has been lately on a scale of 1 to 10?
I think in the last 3 or 4 days, it's been about a 9. Buck activity has definitely increased with some cold weather that had moved in. It went from being pretty slow to a lot of movement in the last 3 or 4 days.
And what phase of the rut would you say southern West Virginia is in right now?
I'd say the chasing and then even some of the lockdown. We saw both of that pretty hard throughout the week there. Where I was hunting was some reclaimed coal mines, so you could see a ways, and you could see when bucks would be locked down with does. So there was a mixture of that, and then also just wherever the hot doe was, you'd see 4 or 5 bucks just right on her tail. So it was in that phase of the rut, I would say.
I know you had some close encounters with some bucks over the last week. When those happened, why were you in that area, and why did those bucks want to be there?
So most of the areas that we were focusing on were these big valley fields that were within the valleys of the reclaimed coal mine. So at the top, out of the timber, where they reclaim those mines, they put a mixture of some different clovers and grasses and things that the deer like to feed on. So it seemed like the does like to hang out there, and also the bucks will bed on some of those benches. So we were able to glass into them, and that seemed to be where we were focusing on and where most of the movement was.
What were you seeing for sign making over the last week?
Scrapes were still pretty hot. A lot of fresh scrapes. It was more of the like the scrape lines that you would see versus them coming in and pounding one specific scrape, but more as they were moving and cruising and hitting some of the scrapes there. So that was what I was seeing the most from that. Not so much as fresh rubs as scrapes.
Were you seeing any midday movement at all?
Yeah, there was actually saw more midday movement than anything else on, especially on the cold days and the rainy days that we had hunted. That middle of the day was absolute fire.
If you're doing some in-season scouting in a forested area in the east, what are some things that you're looking for in late November?
So the big thing is trying to figure out where these does might be feeding at this point, and also the bucks as they're starting to recover. In southern West Virginia where I was, it's more the peak rut, but as you go through most of the Appalachian Range east and north, it's starting to get more into that post rut here now, and they're trying to replenish their body. So finding any of the fresh clear cuts, or if you find an area that still have acorns on the ground that they're feeding on, they're really starting to hit that, as well as grasses that you'll find in some gas lines, pipelines, power lines, things like that, as they're really trying to build up their body again.
Do you notice any big changes hunting post-rut in a state like Pennsylvania or West Virginia than you do in more traditional Midwestern states when it comes to deer movement and buck activity?
Yeah, it seems to be slower. But what I do notice is in that period, you do have the opportunity at seeing some of the bigger, more mature bucks during that time. It's just you typically see few and far in between deer. There's not as many moving at that period as you see in more of the pre and peak rut phases of that time. So it's slower, but it can really pay off if you find the right food source where they're hanging out.
If you were running trail cameras right now in big timber in the east, where would you want those to be located at?
I'd want to run them on scrapes on the edge of a newer clear cut, or on the edge of some thick cover that's going out on a point of oaks that have acorns that are dropping. So some of the similar stuff that you would see during the pre-rut as far as camera placement, but focused more around the food than I would around some of the bedding cover.
Going forward then in this next week or so, what do you think that buck activity is going to be on a scale of 1 to 10 in West Virginia?
I would say the buck activity would still be about an 8, maybe even a 9 still. It just really seemed like it was heating up, and especially with the mature bucks moving in the last few days that I was there. So I would expect that to continue through this week as the temperature is still pretty cold for this time of year.
All right, Bo, good luck with the rest of your season. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Spencer.
All right, and joining us on the line next is Keith Thompson from Montana Whitetails in Montana. Now, Keith, in Montana, what would you say the buck activity has been lately on a scale of 1 to 10?
It's no better than a 5. It's been very hit or miss, I guess if you want to call it the trickle effect. We've been seeing some younger bucks up on their feet moving around early mornings, middle to late afternoon, but not much going on in the middle of the day, and a lot of the bigger deer we just aren't seeing right now. It's been warmer than usual. I mean, I'm not one to make excuses. Our job's to make it happen, but it's been awfully windy and rather warm, especially for this time of the year out here. So it's hasn't benefited us, that's for sure.
So what phase of the rut would you say whitetails in Montana are in right now?
Well, the I guess you could say seeking. I don't know. It's like I said, the younger bucks seem interested and they're cruising around, but the bigger bucks are just not seeing. And I really don't think they're locked down. We haven't really seen any chasing or anything like that. I don't think they're locked down. It's been pretty goofy.
Historically, what do you normally see for sign making in Montana in late November?
Our scrapes along the field edges are usually torn to pieces right now, and you can generally sit back and glass a scrape in the morning, and every deer that leaves the field is usually stopping to check it. And there again, it's just, there hasn't been much activity as far as that goes. There's two scrapes that are there every year and they're on the edge of the field. I mean, I sit there and watch them all the time, and we've had 4 or 5 bucks hit it this morning. There again, the oldest deer was probably 2.5 years old, and the bigger bucks were already out of the field by the time it was light. So I couldn't even see them. I know they're there. Every once in a while, we'll catch a glimpse of one, but it's just, they haven't been very active.
This time of year, what food sources are relevant in a state like Montana?
We're hunting the alfalfa fields, definitely. Like you said, that's 100% the main food source. There's not much left for them to eat other than the alfalfa field. So it helps to, you know, kind of isolate the deer to hunt them, but it hasn't been very good lately.
Besides on scrapes, where do you want to be running your trail cameras in late November?
There again, we don't run that many, simply for the fact that we can pretty much keep visual on our deer from, you know, different vantage points, glassing atmospheres. We run three or four, but most of them are on scrapes just because they're so productive as far as getting different bucks, stopping and hitting them. But 90% of what we do is actually, you know, visual glassing.
As we come into the last weekend of the season, say you had a client who is hunting with a rifle. What does a textbook setup look like for you guys for that gun hunter?
In this situation, I'm trying to get somewhere where I can see as far as I can. We'll get up high where maybe we can look down into the riverbed or cover a lot of ground, especially with the gun. I mean, I want to maximize the weapon. So if we can get up high and maybe glass a buck that has a doe run off somewhere, if we could watch him bed down somewhere or we could make a stalk on him, that's my main deal. I mean, we do a lot of tree stand hunting because we have the river bottom and it's successful that way. But I like to be able to, if I can make a move and cover ground, that's what I want to do.
Going forward then in this next week or so, what do you think that buck activity is going to be on a scale of 1 to 10 in Montana?
Well, hopefully a 7 or 8 just to close the year out. I saw there's a little bit of a weather front coming through. I'm hoping that gets things popping here a little bit. We have four hunters left in camp, so we're trying to... We shot one yesterday. A bow hunter shot one yesterday, so that was good. But we have four deer tags left. We'd like to, you know, go out on top here to close the year.
All right, Keith, good luck to you and your clients in camp. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
All right, and joining us on the line next is Spencer Konischewski from Redline Hunting in Georgia. Now, Spencer, in Georgia, what would you say the buck activity has been lately on a scale of 1 to 10?
Man, yeah, you know, looking really, really being in the woods the last couple of weeks, I would say this past couple of days, I'd rate it about like a 6 or 7. We've seen a bunch of small bucks chasing does during the day, you know, but none of our big time shooter bucks that we got on camera have really shown up really chasing these does yet. And actually we just talked to one of my buddies. He actually he was hunting and he had one doe come in and that doe brought in about 3 to 4 different small bucks. That doe ended up leaving, the buck took off after that doe, and another doe came in and didn't bring one single buck in. So it kind of tells me that some does in this area where we're at, you know, Northeast Georgia, some does are hot and some are not. So I would think it's kind of starting to really, really gear up towards that peak rut. But yeah, as overall out of 10, I would say probably 6 or 7 out of 10 for the past couple of days.
So what phase of the rut would you say Northeast Georgia is in right now?
I would say that pre-rut really transitioning into peak rut right now. I think these, like, coming forward, I think the next couple of days are going to be awesome to be in the woods for. And then another story, actually, another firefighter that we work with, he actually called me yesterday about a doe that was caught in a fence. So they got called out to this call, fire truck show up, they got this doe that's stuck in the fence, and they look up, and they had a monster 8-point buck just staring at this doe about 50 yards. Is actually pretty close to a little subdivision with some woods behind it. So the guys were trying to get this doe down, and this buck would not leave. He just watched the entire time. They ended up cutting the doe down, and as soon as that doe hit the ground and got on her feet and took off, that buck instantly started chasing her down. So if that's any kind of determining factor of what kind of stage we're in, I think that pretty much means that it's almost at that peak time of rut.
I know you're running a lot of trail cameras there. Where do you want to be running your cams in late November in Georgia?
You know, to start with, right now we're really focused on, you know, scrapes and rubs. That's where we got a lot of our cell cams, and we really focus a lot of cell cameras on the bedding areas, you know, coming into the rut. If we can find ourselves kind of hunting in a spot where we can get them transitioned here back and forth from feeding to bedding, that's where we really run our cell cameras. And we try not to get in there as much, only if we're going to hunt it, because we don't want to spook out a lot of these does that could eventually be bringing these bucks into that area. But for the most part, yeah, we're gonna put cameras on scrapes, beddings, and buck rubs.
What food sources are relevant right now in that part of the country?
So it's been real hot and heavy on the acorns lately. You know, I talked to a lot of guys that do run feeders and stuff, and for the past couple weeks, nothing is coming to the feeders. They want no interest in that. Or, you know, a couple of people got some natural food plots as well, and they'll get a couple of does and stuff coming up there out there, but mostly in the middle of the night. We had a good supply of acorns drop this year. But I do anticipate the next couple of weeks, those are going to start diminishing a little bit. And I think they'll eventually start working towards more food plots and more feeders if you have them out there.
If you're forced to do some in-season scouting in late November in Georgia, what are some things that you're looking for?
Man, I'm going to really try to find good pinch points and good funnel points for these deer to be cruising in. If you have the ability where you have enough land where you can get yourself in a good in-between spot, that those transition spots, I think that's going to be the best spot to try to do some scouting early. Find where you want to sit and where you want to hunt at and set up there. That, and I think, you know, in the afternoons especially, these does are going to be out. They're going to be starting to feed a little bit more and more here coming into late November. And I think if you can get on a food plot, that'd be also a good option for yourself as well.
Going forward then, in this next week or so, what do you think that buck activity is going to be on a scale of 1 to 10 in Georgia?
Man, I think these next couple weeks, and especially these next couple days, it's going to be a 10 out of 10. I'm real optimistic about that. Like I said, it's a weird state. You know, Georgia is, you know, we got so many, it seems like we have so many different ruts in different counties. You know, you could talk to one person next to you and it seems like they have no butt rut activity. And then the next person you talk to, they're in full blown rut. I think part of the reason for that is we've got introduced to so many different deer from different states. Because they did populate the deer to try to get them back here. But I think overall, this next week coming forward, it's going to be a 10 out of 10. It's going to be a good time to be in the woods. And if you can get the time off, I would try to do it.
All right, Spencer, good luck to you and everyone else from Redline Hunting. Thanks for joining me.
Awesome. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks, Spencer.
All right, and joining us on the line last is Nate Thomas from Missouri Woods and Water Podcast in Missouri. Now, Nate, in Missouri, what would you say the buck activity has been lately on a scale of 1 to 10?
Lately, I would say it's probably somewhere around a 5. I think a lot of bucks have got does locked down right now. I think there's also some bucks that are searching for that second or third or maybe even fourth right now. They're looking again, but seems to have tailed off, especially with this being toward the tail end of our rifle season. Seems like it's kind of dying a little bit, at least in our area.
So what phase of the drought would you say that Missouri's in right now?
If I had to like say a phase, I would probably say like in the lockdown, you know, second, searching for the second time, kind of in that area right now there. I'm seeing a lot less activity on like trail cams with bucks, and a lot less activity during the day. Now, I haven't hunted in the past 7 days now, because I did tag out last week, but, I've just through talking with certain friends and different people in our area, I think they're kind of ghosting a little bit and kind of locking down with some of those does.
Now, you guys are about 2 weeks into Missouri's gun season. What do you notice for a shift in deer movement at the end of the gun season and going into the archery season again?
Yeah, for me, this gun season the last 2 years for sure has hit right at the peak of the rut, what I would call like the top of that bell curve that you hear everybody talk about. And I don't think this year was any different. Those first few days, let's say 5 days into gun season, were just all kinds of craziness. And then I think, you know, the Orange Army, I'm not saying anything bad about them. There's so much pressure and craziness that happens those first few days. I think you see a decrease in movement, not only because the rut's moving on, but also these deer are just getting harassed by hunters in the woods. And I think a lot of them not only are trying to rut, they're also trying to run for their lives. So it's kind of unique, in my opinion, in our state, because there's all kinds of things going on all at once during that time.
What are you seeing for sign making right now?
Not a whole lot. On my particular property, I saw some scrapes that looked like one of those scrapes that a buck started making, but then got bored with it a few seconds into it. I see more just straight up searching more than anything, just cruising, going through bedding areas, getting out of there onto the next one. Not a whole lot of sign making.
You said that you've been observing your trail cameras for the last couple of weeks. Where do you want to be running your trail cameras in late November in Missouri?
Late November. So after deer season or after rifle season is over, I would go back to that kind of that early season, like transition areas. In my opinion, once the rut's kind of tailing off, sure, you'll have some of those doe groups that are coming in late and we're still going to have some activity, I'm sure. But I think the bucks are just so run down at that point from rutting and trying not to die from the rifle hunters that they're going to be looking to eat again and try to live their lives. So I kind of transition back to those bedding and transition areas to and from food.
And what food sources are relevant right now in that part of the country?
I've been seeing deer on corn a lot right now, cut cornfields, which have been cut for weeks here. Seems like every time I see a deer out feeding, they're in cut cornfields currently.
Going forward then in this next week or so, what do you think that buck activity is going to be on a scale of 1 to 10 in Missouri?
I think it's probably going to drop in the next week or so. Rifle season ends in the next day or two here in our state. And I think we're on the tail end of our rut. I mean, I think we're on the lower end of that bell curve. So I think activity is probably going to drop even more. We're supposed to have several warm days coming here in the next few days. I think Thanksgiving Day is supposed to be a beautiful day as far as hunting would go, but I would say we're probably going to drop from like a 5 down to a 3 or 4.
All right, Nate, good luck with the rest of your season and thanks for joining me.
All right. Thanks, Spencer.
And that concludes this week's episode of Wired to Hunt's Rut Fresh Radio. Thanks to Bo, Keith, Spencer, and Nate for joining me. Thank you guys for listening. Like every week, you can find this week's articles in the description of the episode. You're going to read things like how to kill a big buck at the end of the rut, 10 natural food sources every deer hunter should know, caliber battle, 308 Winchester versus 270 Winchester, and how to kill a buck in late November. Also, we have a ton of great deals happening right now on Meteor's website as well as First Light's website. These are our biggest sales of the year, with Black Friday upon us. One final thing, 1 week in November, episode 2 is now live on Meat Eater's YouTube channel. New episodes are dropping every single Tuesday through the end of the year. So if you like this podcast or want to follow along with the hunts of me or Clay or Mark or Tony, you're not going to want to miss an episode. Good luck hunting this week. Happy Thanksgiving. And until next time, stay wired to hunt.